Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 15th and only 15th episode of Tavern Tussle. Are you a power gamer?
Do you have what it takes to exist in the world of war? I mean, Dungeons and Dragons. Find out this week on Tavern Tussle.
Hey, Karateka.
What's up?
For the Horde. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 15 of Tavern Tussle. We've missed you. Hello. We are back for another week of the show. As always, I am Cam Bams, and I am joined by...
Karateka.
But you knew that already, so whatever. But yeah, so let's dive into some stuff. So our weekly game... We played Andy's game on Sunday. That went well. I guess we had some party discontent.
It was awesome.
It's always weird when, like, you know what you should do for the good of the game, but then you're such a dedicated role player that you're just like, oh, God.
You got to stick to your guns. You got to stick to your character.
I thought my fiance was going to jump across the table and tear my throat out because our characters were disagreeing.
I thought she was going to throw the table at you.
It got a little heated.
It did.
Like, and I couldn't tell if it was like in-game and out-of-game or just in-game. Because like out-of-game, I was fine. I was like, okay, this is nice. This is an interesting story. But then in-game, I was like, you're stupid. Like, it was definitely an experience.
I personally thought it was awesome because Andy, the DM... was just sitting there like he didn't know how to react, and he felt so responsible for this inner party conflict, and the look on his face was just awesome. And
he was just in there wide-eyed and like
I was so entertained. Obviously, I mean, me, Karateka, was entertained, and obviously Throck,
yeah,
fucking very similar personality, he was highly entertained.
It got to that point where like I was like, can you DM please and like stop this before like
a horde of orcs
that was even bad
approaches Drastor's Keep,
right? Just kill us all, just TPK, it's over, we're done.
See if you ever argue in my game again.
Yeah, so we have our keep that we claimed, Half-Blood's keep, we have some giants protecting it, but those giants told us apparently they're stone giants.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, even though that keep has been there for how long, and the stone giants never bothered it, but we move in and blah, blah, blah. But it's cool. It's cool. There's just an undead army being raised, you know, stuff. Stuff's happening. It's not bad.
More smack dab in the middle of it.
Yeah, last week was pretty much like the establishing a base. Like, we have like guards and like artisans and people living in our keep now. So my last week was all just about setting that shit up.
Yeah. You had a strong, like, role-playing aspect last week.
You guys actually went out and, like, fought giants and shit, so that's cool.
Yeah. Our main goal was, well, Mateo's main goal was to scout out the ominous presence to the north.
Yeah, so a little bit of context. So, Kyle, who's been on the show before, plays... a dark elf warlock called Matrim, and his patron told him to go check out an undead army that's being released. My guy, who is a bounty hunter, who is currently looking for his kidnapped sister, didn't think it was very prudent to just walk up on an undead army, so he didn't want to go, and that's what started the whole argument or whatever, but... it was fine. It all worked out. We reunited in the end.
We compromised. Yeah. We killed two birds with one stone. We scouted everything out. We also wanted to fortify the keep in case, you know, push came to shove and we had to draw an army of undead back to our line of defense.
Yeah, so we're good. It's good. It's good. More stuff will happen. We're playing Crockett's game tonight, so we'll see what happens then. But yeah, some stuff has been happening in the D&D space while we've been tardant, I should say. Yeah, Joe Manganiello gave an interview on Stephen Colbert, The Late Show. It's pretty cool. Like, I kind of like, it was kind of like a fluff piece for like his clothing brand. And they just talked about D&D. I'm sure no one understood what was going on. But I thought it was fun.
And but the ones who did were friggin' like, I already knew about Joe. But then Stephen just jumped in. I feel like he kind of was like overwhelming. His knowledge base was, I feel like, more than Joe expected. Because he was just I can throw this out and this out and this out. Like, I know this and this and this. And he was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I thought I was the veteran here.
It was cool to see. And then, God, Joe Manganiello's basement is just
fucking
ridiculous.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
Like, I need money. Like that.
I mean, instead of, like, wolf heads or deer heads or bear rugs, you have dragon heads and mind flayers. And instead of a fucking chandelier, you have a beholder. Like, man.
You can buy that mind flayer head.
I'm fucking jealous.
WizKids makes that. You can buy it. It's like $500.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Just be late on your rent 1 month, whatever. The baby will survive.
And you know what my excuse is going to be? I'm going to be like, yeah, dude, have you seen my fucking mind flayer head?
Exactly. Like, look at this.
Hopefully my landlord's a fucking D&D fan. Cause
just like bolt that to the wall. But yeah. Oh, and then Terry Crews did a D&D for the new WoW expansion where Matthew Mercer was the DM. They had Ashley Birch and Marisha Ray as players. And then Troy Baker was on there. I love Troy Baker. He's a voice actor. If you guys don't know, they've been done all sorts of stuff. Most notably, he was the Joker in the Batman, the Arkham games. Which I think he did the Joker justice. Because basically, it was like he was doing the Mark Hamill Joker kind of thing. And he did it really well. So I was impressed. It's good. But he was playing it. And then I cannot remember. Oh, yeah. Taliesin from Critical Role playing. And then some IGN host that I wasn't a huge fan of. I don't remember her name. But yeah. But yeah, it was fun.
But now she knows you hate her.
Like she's going to hear this. Whatever. Yeah, but you can check out. It's like 2.5 hours long. You check that out on YouTube. We'll have a link in the show notes to that. We'll also have a link in the show notes to the Joe Manganiello, Stephen Colbert interview. And the elephant in the room is the WoW expansion came out this week. And oh, my God. I took my since we're all playing Alliance now, fucking losers, I took my Dwarf Paladin to 120. Took me about 16 hours, but I did it.
16 hours straight.
So now I'm the only one out of our friends that is 120, and I'm just fucking doing random shit until I wait for you guys to catch up.
Give me like 3 days.
Yeah. Okay. I'll already be raid geared by then, bro.
I'm going to call out of work. Be like, look, I am feeling sick. Like,
I'm super sick of Cameron telling me I suck all the time. Oh, shit, I said my real name for the first time ever.
Have you ever heard of the horde disease? Yeah. It is fucking taking over.
Yeah, I got alliance-itis. It's really weird. I don't know. Yeah, but for you guys who play World of Warcraft, I hope that you're enjoying it. I know I am. I think the quests in World of Warcraft are some of the best story-wise that have been in WoW. And, like, the whole time I was playing through one of the Drustvar zone, I was thinking, oh, my God, I want to do a D&D campaign of this so badly. It was just so good.
That's it, dude.
There was one part that scared the shit out of me. You're, like, walking through, like, this creepy forest or whatever, and you hear this little girl's voice behind you, like, in the headphones because they do the 3D sound now. But I was like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden, this little girl just skips by you and you're like, what just happened? It was super creepy. I was done. But yeah, but Tavern Tussle news starting next Monday. That is next Monday. I don't know what date that is, but whatever. We're going to start doing daily Twitter themes on our Twitter, so be sure to follow us at Tavern Tussle. So, Monday. Karateka, what is Monday?
Monster Monday.
I'm super excited about this one. So what we are doing is me and Karateka are putting our half brains together to make a whole brain, and we are coming up with custom monsters. Karateka, what is our first monster going to be?
So the first monster we are releasing is our Gym Rat Goblin.
You may have heard this guy from previous episode. We talked about him. This is the goblin that lived in the gym, never took a day off. I'm going to run down some of his stats. You'll have to wait for the release on Monday for everything. But this goblin is coming in at a whopping 18 AC because this motherfucker wears plate. That's right. Oh, and what's his weapon? A great axe. That's right. A great axe. And then, of course, one of his abilities, which I would love to take the credit, but Karateka named it.
Thank you.
It was.
Thank you.
It was because we were sitting there like, what should we call this?
It had to be fucking awesome and like unique.
Yeah. So the title of the ability is One More Rep.
Which and is all you fucking gym rats know exactly what that means, because there's always that asshole who's spotting you, and his final words when you're dying and you can't get that last rep is one more rep.
We're doing a D&D podcast. I doubt anyone's a gym rat, but whatever. One more
for
rep.
For Jax Machina.
When reduced to zero hit points, but not killed outright, the gym rat goblin can drop to one hit point instead. So I know monsters don't have death saves and everything like that, but the whole killed outright thing was really, you know, like, they don't take
double his max HP.
Yeah. Like, he's not taking, you know, whatever. But yeah, so the Gym Rat Goblin will be available on D&D Beyond. We'll share a link next Monday for Monster Monday. Goblins are small, black-hearted humanoids that lair in despoiled dungeons and other dismal settings. Individually weak, usually, but this one has spent his entire life in the gym. Therefore, he is the exception. The Gym Rat Goblin. Super excited. Super excited. And then, on Tuesdays on Twitter, we'll be doing Talent Tuesdays, where we highlight celebrities, other podcasts, any kind of artists that we see on our Twitter feed. So if you have anyone you want us to feature on Tuesdays, hit us up with a link to their Twitter. Wednesdays, or Tavern Tussle Wednesdays, that's because that's when we post the show. So, whatever. Thursday, we're a bit iffy on. We wanted to do Thirsty Thursdays, where we post a new mixed drink recipe every week, but then we discovered that involves a lot of drinking and a lot of money. So we'll see.
We'll see how that one goes.
We're probably going to change that one, folks. So don't get excited if you're a boozer. Just make up your own stuff. Why not? And then Friday is Fail Friday. If something particularly faily or funny happens in our weekly games, we will post it with a picture and a snapshot and a written story by whoever it happened to. Or we'll just post funny failed D&D memes because we're trash.
Those are always awesome. I get a kick out of them.
Exactly. So whatever. So yeah, so that is one of our many updates for the month of August. We said we had a lot of stuff in the works. That is just one of the things. Next week we'll probably talk about another thing. We're just trying to decide what we're going to do with it. I know I'm rambling, but whatever. So, now that all that is done, you finally made it to the meat of the episode. Let's get into what we're talking about. You may think we're talking about Eberron again this week, but you would be wrong, because there's just so much, and the WoW expansion came out, and that's my excuse. So, I am taking a little break from that Bible of lore to focus on other things. We're going to talk about characters today. I know, boring, blah, 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 but what kind of character do you make? When you sit down to make a Dungeons & Dragons character, you have to think, what am I going to do and why am I making this character? In my opinion, there are two extremes of character creation. There is the character you make just to be optimized to the teeth, to do the most damage, be the most effective at whatever role you're doing. And then there's the character who you make because you want to role play, and that character seems like it'd be fun to role play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, Karateka, what are pros and cons of making the optimal character?
So, in my experience, when somebody makes an optimization character, it's usually based around combat. They want to be the alpha damage dealer or just the all-around show like star of combat encounters. So obviously a major factor when optimizing a character is a character who does just outright more damage than the rest of the party.
Yeah, in the fight before it becomes,
yes,
you know, a thing.
So another thing I've experienced is people who, well, one, you have people who are new to D&D. You have people who have come over to D&D from playing video games, or there are people who are just kind of shy and haven't, you know, grown to feel comfortable with the role-playing aspect of D&D. So they want to feel like they are
they're contributing.
Yeah, they're contributing to the party. So they make a character which they feel comfortable playing, which is a character that is optimized for combat. I mean, most players enjoy combat encounters. And yeah, so that's where they feel comfortable for the time being. So, and that's what they're used to, obviously, when you play video games.
Characters getting the best gear possible, doing the most damage possible, all that stuff, yeah.
And so one thing about optimized characters is they tend to not have a really in-detailed backstory. Because...
Yeah, my uncle's a farmer. I decided to be a wizard. Done.
Or, yeah, or I feel like the go-to is, you know, I was abandoned as a child.
Yeah, I'm an orphan.
Yes. Yeah. And then I came across this extravagant mentor who was either some highly skilled freaking warrior or just like an archmage. Like they're always someone super powerful that taught them. And that's how they become to be, you know, whatever they are. And that was it. Like nothing happened in between. It was training for the next 20 years.
No, my favorite backstory that I've ever come across was one of the players in one of my games years ago made a fighter, and he was very much one of those power gamer players where he just wanted to optimize everything, and he never really role played. Like, he'd always just be quiet during the role play sections. But yeah, his backstory was, my parents were killed, and I'm a fighter. And that's all he gave me. And I'm like, what? I was like, can you, like, anything? He's like, who can't fight? Whatever. And I was like, okay, so we're just going to put that to the side.
I got one more. When you just don't want to write up a backstory, what if you don't have one? Because you were hit really hard in the head and you have amnesia.
Yeah.
So you don't remember your name or how anything happened in your past.
Look at you, Tals and Jeffy.
You just woke up and you were freaking attuned to the arcane arts just out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, that's another good one. You're like, yeah, whatever. I have amnesia. I'm a fighter. Done.
Boom. Ah, man. So, I feel like a major con for optimized characters is they lack in almost every other area of the game. If you're playing with experienced players and an experienced DM, what 30 to 40% of your gameplay is encounters, but then you're doing everything else, whether it be you're going through a dungeon, say you're trying to be stealthy, probably not so stealthy, say you're trying to search for traps, probably not good at searching for traps, say you're in the town, and well, one, you're already bad at role-playing as is, but you're talking to a merchant and you're trying to persuade them to lower their prices or give you a better deal. Chances are you're not very good at that. If you're trying to persuade some guild leader or somebody of an important nature to give you, you know, a quest or whatever the case may be, chances are you're probably not very good at that. So you just lack in every other aspect of the game, typically. I mean, you can obviously, like, if you built some beefy ass fighter or barbarian, chances are you're probably good at intimidation.
Yeah.
You know, but there's just so many skills that compared to like a balanced character or even a role-playing character, you're just not very strong at those aspects.
Yeah, now it's time to throw in a little disclaimer, because I know people are going to be like, well, I'm a really big role player and I also optimize characters. Like, what we're doing is, this is the extreme ends of the spectrum. Like, you have that guy that plays D&D like a video game, and he only wants to do the most damage, only wants to have the highest AC kind of thing.
Only look like he's not even like included in the game. He's like on his phone if you're not in a combat encounter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like that's that like literally the only reason he shows up.
And then the other end of the spectrum is the role player, you know, who is only playing to role play, you know, does not optimize his spells, does not get optimal equipment, like doesn't, as long as he's role playing, he's happy kind of thing. So yeah, sorry. So continue.
So, yeah, no, I mean, that pretty much hits on what an optimized character is. But let me introduce you to my optimized character.
It's a good one.
Thank you. So, I decided to make a Juggernaut Warforged. We did a level 5 character, so he's 4th level fighter and 1st level barbarian.
You got half that damage, man.
I was about to say, I'm guessing all of you understand why he took that first level barbarian. That's the reason everybody wants a first level barbarian.
And we also used the standard array
for
ability scores. So we didn't roll these. We just did the standard array. So both the characters we made would be on, you know, there's quotations there. You didn't see them.
But so obviously there are no freaking 18s or 20 attributes. He has a 16 strength and a 16 con. He has a 13 dex for all those lovely dex saves. And then intelligence, wisdom, and charisma were dump stats. I mean, there was a 12 for an attribute, so I put that intelligence, and then you take you have a 0 ability modifier for charisma and a -1 for wisdom. He doesn't even care about those stats because all he cares about is fighting. Hence why he's a fighter. So, anyways, level 5, he has a 21 AC. This was optimized. These obviously aren't rolled hit points, but 82 hit points. So a level 2 fighter, 21 AC, 82 hit points.
Or a level 5 character, level 4 fighter.
Level 5 character, level 4 fighter.
82 hit points, 21 AC. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So he's got the barbarian rage. He halves damage. You took the dueling fighting style. So you get a +2 bonus damage in wielding only one weapon in one hand. Mm-hmm. And since he uses a shield, he gets that on his sword.
Yep, exactly.
He has second wind, action surge. You took battle master as your archetype. So you have combat superiority, which is just ridiculous. And then I love how you took alchemist supplies as your proficiency.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I didn't even get to that. Like, my equipment. So obviously, being a warforged, I don't need armor, and I didn't want to take the preset equipment, so I decided I was just going to take the money and buy my own. I bought my shield, obviously, high AC.
Important.
I took my longsword, because, you know, that's what I hit with.
It's a D8,
with
my shield. You.
Huh?
It's a D8.
Oh, yeah. And then I took some javelins, because, you know, every once in a while, you just want to throw it. Long,
I mean, why not?
Weapon at some people. I took 2 hand axes. Why? Because it's fucking badass to wield 2 hand axes.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah, just in case. I mean, yeah, obviously you can use them to throw, but it's just the thing to do. You don't own one hand axe. It's just not normal. And then I got my potions. Three of them. Because I'm on the front line.
Yeah.
And, you know, I take damage, half of it. Sometimes you gotta drink a potion. Whatever. And that's it. Because that was all my gold. And that's all I need.
And your AC will keep going up as you level. Because as a Warforged, your heavy plate and armor is 16 plus your proficiency bonus.
Yep.
So your AC will just keep getting higher and higher and higher. It's ridiculous. And of course, you took the Sentinel feat.
Oh, yes.
Because Sentinel. That is like the cheesiest feat for combat.
It's pretty much it's the front line feat. If you are in the mix and you're the tank, like nothing is leaving you, nothing is running by you, because obviously they take damage, they stop where they are. If a creature within 5 feet of you attacks one of your allies, you can attack them. So yeah, that is my example of an optimized tank character.
Yeah, and we'll share these. We'll post a link in the show notes and on our Twitter so you can check out the characters we made. So now I'm going to talk about making a character for role-playing, because that's where I get my enjoyment from. So, role-playing character. Number one, off the bat, some people just find it way more fun. You know, they feel part of the story, part of the world, like they become that character. It's why they play D&D in the first place. So why aren't you making characters for role-playing? Because of that, they lead to some of the most memorable moments in games. Like, if no one's a heavy role player in your game, then you don't have those inside jokes or those, oh, you remember when this happened. Like, it's all just kill, kill, kill. And that's, I know how that's fun for some, but I like having those little vignettes of like, holy shit, do you remember like when Aegon did this, blah, 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 you know, like it just feels good. And it gives your DM so much to work with story-wise when you make a character for role-playing, because you're going to get a detailed background. You know, you're going to interact with the world in a way your character would react, not the way you would react. So it just gives your DM all these little nuggets of goodness for you to role-play with. And it's just, it'd be good. It is, however, a little harder to fit into any and all groups when you make a character for role-playing. Because if all that group is not heavy role players, then, you know, having a heavy role player in the group is going to be difficult, because people are going to get frustrated at your decisions, or people are not going to understand why you're doing this because it harms the party or harms the story kind of thing. And that's just, it's just one of those things. Like, and like your game. You know, like, I'm a heavy role player, but not everyone is that we play with is used to playing with a heavy role player. So me coming in and being like, okay, blah, blah, and I'm acting as this character, all of a sudden they're looking at me like, wow, Cameron is an asshole. And I'm like, no, I'm not an asshole, I promise. But yeah, no, just, you got to kind of find that edge. You got to find other role players to play with to really get like the full experience. And sometimes a character made for roleplay can hinder other people's enjoyment because they find the performance of that character lackluster. You know, they don't do a lot in combat, but fuck those people. Fuck is capital right there.
Mm-hmm. Fuck those people.
I mean, because you should play D&D the way you want to, with the people you want to play with, kind of thing. Don't let the way anyone else plays the game ruin it for you. Just find new friends. I know it's hard. Just do it. It'll be fine. I understand role-playing is definitely not for everyone. There are people who get into the game, like Karateka said, they're shy, or they don't understand how to role-play. They can't get into that mode, so it's just different. But on the other page, a character for role playing can really be used to get those creative people hooked. You have friends who are like, you know, they love fantasy movies and they write, you know, stories and stuff. Like, they're not going to want to play D&D for the combat. You know, like, a character for role-playing really can hook some people because, I mean, it worked. You just get people into tabletop role-playing games in general. You know, like, look what you can do with a group of people. Look what stories you can create, you know, if you just put your mind to it and all this stuff. So, let me introduce you to Grognak, the Private Eye, 5th level wizard, half-orc investigator.
Yes. Cheerio. I'm Grognak, the Private Eye. I was a young orc, raised by my herd, left for dead because I used big words like hippopotamus. I was taken in by a man you may have heard of, Sherlock Gnome. He taught me everything.
My God.
Everything I needed to know to be a detective. He has hence been murdered. I have set out to solve this murder. There is no weapon, no witnesses, no suspects. I have found a warforged fighter. I think I will throw my lot in with him. He is very strong.
Yeah, that's Grognak. Yeah, so,
Sherlock, no motherfucker. That was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, no, so, with my standard array, strength of 10, dexterity of 14, constitution of 11, intelligence of 14, I put the 15 in charisma because I wanted that detective flair. I wanted to be good at, you know, persuasion and stuff like that.
You interview people. You talk to people.
Exactly.
That's what you do.
And I understand, like, investigation is intelligence. But, you know, I had to pick and choose kind of thing. But yeah, he has 21 hit points and a 12 armor class. And, of course, he is a wizard. So, let's break down some spells. His spells that he has. I'm just going to go through the prepared spells just because he has so many spells because he is a wizard kind of thing. So, this is what he has prepared. Any old day, right? His cantrip, Firebolt. Because when I first made him, he didn't have any attack cantrips. And I was like, this, I know I'm going for role-playing flair, but
Slide.
Someone's going to kill me. Yeah. I don't have some kind of cantrip that does damage. So Firebolt, he has Light because he's going to be in dark places all the time. He has Mage Hand, you know.
Because, I mean, who doesn't need Mage Hand?
And he has Message. Because I was an investigator, like he can whisper to people across the room, stuff like that, yeah. His first level spells, this is where it gets good. He has Comprehend Languages, Detect Magic, Disguise Self, Find Familiar. I was thinking, like, Find Familiar could be like a rat. He could, like, send in little places and stuff. Identify. And then I did take Magic Missile, just because Magic Missile is one of the best spells ever created. Fight me. And then he has Unseen Servant for dirty work, you know.
I feel like he's part detective, part spy.
I mean, hey, investigator, detective, whatever. Second level spells, Alter Self. I know he has Disguise Self, but I just wanted to keep the theme up. Locate Object, which I thought was pivotal to his being a detective. He had to have Locate Object. And he has Suggestion. Are you sure you don't want to tell me who committed the murder? And then third level, I just took Fly, because if he has to go somewhere fast, you know, the lead is running, and I'll just fly after him. That's great. And the feat I took at level 4 was Keen Mind, because Grognak never forgets a face.
Never forgets anything.
Yeah, no.
For a month.
Yeah, no, I had so much fun making this character, and he just seems like he would be super fun to play. So, yeah, that's Grognak the Private Eye. Hello.
And kind of like you said, like, with that type of character, obviously he's going to be going around talking to people, questioning them, following leads. Like, there's going to be so much stuff that he's doing outside of combat. And then that's where the kind of inner party disputing comes in. Because they're like, you're just wasting so much time. No, I'm fucking doing shit, yeah. Dude. Shut up. Like, you want to go find some fucking... Go over to that cave, like a mile outside of town. Go fight your fucking, you know...
Your gnolls.
Gnolls or whatever. Get your fix.
Yeah, no. So, that's...
Like, the person at the table is foaming at the mouth because...
So, Royden and Grognak. So, Grognak can investigate everything and Royden can just beat people up.
Easier enforcer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. So, yeah, like I said, we will have those posted in the show notes and on Twitter. If you want to check out those characters, tell us what we did wrong, because I know you love to do that. But, yeah, I have some challenges for you people. So what's going to happen? Okay, so go on to D&D Beyond, that wonderful website that has one of the best character builders ever created for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. If you go to the character builder, you can hit... random character. Boom. Was it me?
Damn. Good job.
Anyway, go to the character builder. Hit random character. Make it 5th level. Don't touch anything else. Just 5th level, random character. Create it. Come up with a little backstory for your character. And then send us a link. TavernTussle@gmail.com. Or Twitter and Tavern Tussle. And if we like any of them, we will talk about them on the show. Good job. And on the other scheme, show us your optimized characters that you're playing. Go to D&D Beyond. Create your best optimal character at level 5. Let us know what we're doing wrong. Show Karataka how to properly make that Warforged fighter.
I'm waiting for someone. I'm hoping someone says some shit.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Of course you are. So, yeah. We want to thank you very much for all this short episode today because I got WoW to play. Remember, look out on Monday for the Gym Rat Goblin posted on Twitter, but loved everywhere. You know. Any last minute thoughts, Karataka?
I mean, I'm going back to that whole thing. You know, we threw out that challenge last episode. Nobody has any type of critiques. Any type of, you know, hate. Send me some hate mail. Like, Jesus, you guys are lazy.
Yeah, all these people listen to us in the UK and Sweden. Get on it. It was so random. We just had, like, a random, like, 40-some downloads one day last week. And I was like, that's crazy. Whatever. Thank you, Sweden.
I'm going to Sweden Monday.
Sounds good.
Go chill with those cool folks.
Yeah. But, yeah, we hope that you are all having... a wonderful time in the world of Warcraft. I mean, Dungeons and Dragons. But yeah. As always, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to us ramble. You mean the world to me. Reach out to us. TavernTussle@gmail.com. Twitter @TavernTussle. I said that 6 times already, but I really need you to know. I need affirmation. I need to know what I'm doing is okay. Okay? Okay. And from the bottom of Karataka's cold, dark recess, because that's never going to change, he thanks you. Don't you? Don't you thank them?
Of course.
As always, we hope you have a wonderful week. For the Horde.